Good morning, everyone. It's conceivable that the takeaway, when all the votes are counted on November 2nd, might just be that the seat once held by Barack Obama will no longer be held by a Democrat.
Or the takeaway could be that the conventional wisdom holds true. Voters don't really care about midterm elections.
That is certainly possible. And, you know, that may be the takeaway no matter what. But I guess the question is, does Obama lose cred in some sense if he loses his seat in Illinois?
Inside the Beltway or out?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, there was a debate last night between the U.S. Senate candidates representing Illinois. They took to the stage, and the debate was entertaining. But is it substantive? Well, let's take a listen here.
The difference between me and my opponent is he made a number of mistakes. Betting his bank's future on the risky real estate loans, brokered hot money deposits, and loans to well-known convicted felons and mobsters like Michael Jaws Durango.
That's Republican Mark Kirk attacking his opponent's financial dealings, and Democrat Alexei Janulius fired back quickly.
Congressman says he's been accountable. He keeps on pointing to these fitness reports to provide answers to these questions. But I've looked at the fitness reports. Nowhere in there does it say that he served in Iraq. Nowhere in there does he say he was shot at by Dutch peacekeepers. Nowhere does it say that he was shot at all.
Kirk versus Janulius. It's just one of the dramas going on in the state of Illinois this political season. We've asked Jim Warren, Chicago-based columnist for the Chicago News Co-op and the New York Times, to join us from Chicago. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, guys. You know, I think you both got the takeaway potentially correct there. I mean, it could be both. Obama loses the seat, and, you know, you have a rather resigned, depressed, low electorate in off here.
So would you say that Illinois voters are not paying as much attention to the Senate race as maybe some inside the Beltway are?
Yeah, not even close. I mean, you know, this morning, Chicago Sun-Times, big picture on the front page, not of a Senate candidate debating, but of Ryan Sandberg, Hall of Famer, snubbed for the job of manager.
Former Cubs slugger, yes, indeed.
Yeah, and you need a SWAT team to find the debate story. And, you know, you go online, for instance, in my old paper, the Chicago Tribune, and the first thing that hits you is a big photo of the embattled CEO of Tribune Company, who looks like he's being shown the exit. And although they do mention the debate story, but no, it hasn't been. I mean, you probably have had more coverage on many days of the return of Rahm Emanuel to town for a mayoral race that doesn't take place until February.
Well, it's interesting because in Illinois, you've got the mayoral race and the gubernatorial race really trumping the Senate race. You mentioned the mayoral race in Chicago, which is sort of just getting underway. What about the gubernatorial race?
The gubernatorial race is, yeah, I mean, no surprise, has gotten a lot more attention. I mean, partly, and there may be a bit of a Blagojevich effect. You have the unusual situation of, you know, impeached governor, his replacement, now fighting off a Republican who barely got 20% in a multi-person primary, barely got 20%, and
wow.
He now may ride the wave of disenchantment toward, you know, incumbents and become the next governor.
Well, what is this wave? Let's explore, because there are some sideshows around the state of Illinois that are really,
yeah,
really fascinating. Let's go to the 14th district. This is Dennis Hastert's old district. It's DeKalb, Illinois, a more conservative place you could not find. It switched to the Democrats in 2008. Now it's ripe for the picking for Republicans. They're switching back. Give me a rundown on the 14th district.
Yeah, no, they may get it. You've got a you know, slightly left of center Democrat physicist who's been in there now two terms, but it's essentially a Republican district, and a pretty mainstream opponent, a Republican, is now up against a guy, Bill Foster. You're seeing similar things play out throughout the Chicago suburbs. You've got a moderate Democrat a la Mark Kirk, the congressman running against Janulius for the Obama Senate seat in the 10th congressional district on the North Shore of Chicago. And, you know, he may take back that seat. You've got a couple of very endangered Democrats, including in the little lower down, a little farther south from here in the Quad Cities, a guy you never imagined could lose, a guy named Phil Hare, H-A-R-E, in a classically gerrymandered district, which should be totally Democratic, and some Republican of no great consequence is polling neck and neck and may beat him. But I just think it's because of this sort of the same visceral rage you're seeing everywhere, guys. I don't think it's much different. Voter despair and resignation all over the place.
But the interesting thing in Illinois, let me just turn up for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, Phil Hare is the safest of the safe, and you've got someone who's sort of threatened a really weak Democrat like Debbie Halverson. Both are threatened. It's not as though the weak ones,
right,
the marginal ones, are any less safe than the safe ones.
Oh, exactly. And one thing that I've sort of, and this is purely anecdotal, guys, there's a group of voters in this state who have been staunchly pro-Obama, and those are suburban women. I don't know what you know, call them. I don't want to get too facile here.
How about suburban women?
The soccer moms, that stuff. And they seem to be going Republican, and many may well vote, for instance, for Kirk, even though, you know, they're pro-choice, they're pro-civil unions, maybe even pro-gay marriage, anti-guns, but they just want a change, and Jim Nulius may be one of the many victims, although in that case, you know, the polling suggests a close Senate race, but there's just a basic throw the bums out mentality.
Now, is this something that is going to translate into policy, or is it just some old switcheroo kind of idea?
Well, I mean, tell me what the makeup of the Senate and the Congress ends up being, for starters, whether it translates to policy. I mean, I don't know if you can get much done with the small margins that you're going to come out with, whether the Republicans regain the House or not, whether the Democrats maintain the Senate or not, and whoever wins, the in some ways the booby prizes of either governor of Illinois or mayor of Chicago is going to be confronted with astonishing financial problems. I mean, just gigantic, California-like, certainly for the state of Illinois. $80 billion unfunded, pension liabilities. In Chicago, Mayor Daley, even after an amazing 22-year run and having been sort of the king of American mayors and maintained Chicago's status as one of the great cities, he is leaving behind a huge, huge financial mess for Mayor Emanuel or whomever.
And the switcheroo isn't going to help with any of that, even though it may be psychologically comforting for some voters. Jim Warren, thanks so much.
Guys, thank you.
Jim Warren, Chicago-based columnist for the Chicago News Co-op and the New York Times, joining us from the Windy City.
A few more thoughts about this political season in America. As comfortable as incumbents usually feel, and as safe as some districts seem to be, or as color-fast blue or red some whole states seem, every once in a while the planets align and you get the old switcheroo. Illinois is called the land of Lincoln, but this year it might turn out to be Planet Switcheroo.
You know what's going to be a great day? We're going to see the headline. Mark Kirk wins Barack Obama's Senate seat. Bill Brady wins the governor mansion. Big day for us.
At a local Chicago bar, the city's Republicans are dreaming of that new dawn come Election Day. But there are still some immovable objects. This is the 22nd State Assembly District of powerful Democrat and Illinois Speaker Michael Madigan. Madigan is the guy who opened the way for Barack Obama's political career. Madigan's Republican opponent, a guy named Ryan.
Patrick John Ryan, go get him. Thank you very much.
But it turns out that Patrick John Ryan works for the Streets and the Sanitation Department for the Democratic mayor in Chicago, votes Democratic, and maybe isn't really a Republican. He's called a shill for Madigan, run by the Democratic machine as a pretend Republican in a Democratic district so safe the real GOP couldn't be bothered. Well, State Chairman Pat Brady is a real Republican. He explains why Illinois is normally a real hard place to pull off the old switcheroo.
That is kindergarten behavior compared to what we see stealing votes in the city of Chicago. It's not as bad as it used to be, but the machine still exists, and that's what we're fighting against, and I think that's what people are really fed up with.
Rage against the machine from a man who believes there may be something stirring out there in 2010.
We'd love to get Barack Obama's Senate seat. We'd like to get Joe Biden's old seat in Delaware, and I think we're going to get Harry Reid's seat in Nevada. So that's the trifecta for us. And to lose in the state of Illinois, your home state, for the White House, I don't care how they want to spin it, that's an embarrassment.
Now, the idea that the president's seat in the Senate would cross the aisle, that hurts. Listen to the ads. Obama's gravitas gets drowned out by the coattails, some would say the ghost of, indicted former Governor Rob Blagojevich. You can change the names.
Is this change you can believe in? Over the years, Alexei Genulius has had some shady ties.
including the mob. As a bank executive, he loaned $15.4 million to convicted mobster Michael Jaws Durango, a crime boss that ran prostitution rings and engaged in illegal gambling.
Because of Blago, Democrat Alexei Janulis is in the crosshairs for the old switcheroo.
Alexei Janulis, he'd make Tony Soprano proud.
You've got to hop on the old Cottage Grove train, they call it the Green Line these days, to experience the safety of Barack Obama's political green zone. Valois Restaurant in Hyde Park, where you can get Obama breakfast favorites like steak and eggs, pancakes, egg whites, hash browns, and sausage, sounds good. Served with a side of pride.
We look on him with extreme pride. I mean, he definitely is one of Chicago's favorite sons.
Herb Robinson sells cable TV, and he's as loyal as they get. His message this election year? Cut the big man some slack.
We are an impatient society, and for the most part, we want things right now. Whereas we didn't get into this situation right now, it takes time to get out of this.
But polls show that around the nation, the seeds of the old switcheroo can be found in the hearts of the once loyal, who are now worried. Meet Marjorie Browning Staples.
I really like him, but I think he needs to address some of the issues. A lot of people who I talk with, they're kind of feel discouraged because things really haven't gotten better. And I think the little person needs a lot of help.
Help like this, maybe?
I work on this thing where I'm trying to have Barack Obama and Martin Luther King be roommates. Can I do a little bit for y'all right now?
At a place called Jokes and Notes on the South Side, a watering hole for young urban African-American professionals, let's just say they're not laughing with the president.
How long do I have to wait for you to pay that cable bill? Hold it right there, Martin, just hold it right there.
Comedian Aaron Foster campaigned hard for President Obama 2 years ago, but now?
People are just starting to care less, man. I mean, we're struggling so much day to day with this economy in America that we can't care so much about whether, you know, the Republicans are in control, because people are in control, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, but we're still getting our ass kicked as the regular person on the street.
So in a tough recession, in a crisis of any kind, the headliner may get all the attention, but it's the mood music in the background that may end up calling the political dance. And this year, that dance may be the old switcheroo.
Now come on, baby, let's do the switcheroo.
The political switcheroo was actually a story in the family of the next person we're going to talk to here. Paul Vanderveen is a journalist and son of Richard Vanderveen. Good morning, Paul.
Morning.
So in your life, way back in 1974, your dad, as a Democrat, took Gerald Ford, who had gone on to become president, or would go on to become president, took his Republican seat in a special election. What was it like to have switched from Republican and Democrat and to be riding this wave of change?
It was great to be at the center of change, and that's really what it was, is people voted for change. They took an opportunity to use their vote to make a statement, and that statement was, you know, we want to change in the White House, and that's what the 5th District of Michigan sent the message to Washington.
And they got the change, but then 2 years later, or more than that, a little more than that, voters turned Richard Vanderveen out. What was that like? What did your dad think of that?
You know, this was a heavily Republican district. He was the first Democrat elected since 1912. And, you know, sure, it was hard, but you looked at the district and you said, wow, this really is a Republican district. And, you know, he went on.
Are voters fickle, do you think?
Voters are fickle, but they love to use their vote to send a message. And that's what's maybe happening now, and certainly what was happening back in 1974.
And you had a good seat to watch all the drama back then.
Perfect seat.
Paul Vanderveen is now a journalist, son of Richard Vanderveen, who held the 5th District congressional seat as a Democrat, formerly held by President Gerald Ford, for a couple of years back in the 1970s. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.